Take our hymn books, turn to hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance, hymn number 572.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Here is salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And it's good to have Chris Rule here with us. God bless you, Chris and Holly and family, Katie and everyone here. God bless you. Good to have you here this morning. Brother Chris, I'm going to ask you to come lead in prayer. And if you would, tell us about your ministry that the Lord's given you out west out there and what all your responsibilities and everything that's going on and that kind of thing. Good to see you this morning. And we're thankful for God's people continuing to serve the Lord here or elsewhere, other places, and so we're excited about that. But Brother Chris, he has a lot of different irons in the fire, as you might say, and a lot of responsibilities there at the church that he's serving in. So tell us about your church and school and all that, if you would.
Well, I'm the assistant pastor and school administrator there at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Pleasanton, California. It's about 30 minutes straight east of San Francisco. And so we've got our work cut out for us. It's a great mission field, very different than here. The population is very diverse, multicultural, and so I now know how to use some chopsticks, and I know how to eat sushi. I know how to take my shoes off at the door, things of that nature. And so just very different than what I grew up with and how I was raised here. But the Lord is working, the Lord is blessing. And so you pray for us as we're in a very different part of the country. It's a lot of people bring their own cultures over and their own languages, their own ideals. And so it's a very hard part of the country to preach the gospel. And but the Lord is blessing. The Lord is good. He's God everywhere. And so but you pray for us as we work there. It's just a blessing to be a part of the ministry. And the Lord has counted us faithful to be in it. And we're just enjoying the ride. So let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for what you've done for us, for giving us a home in heaven, for giving us a place to serve in a church. God, we just pray that you bless this place today. Lord, we do pray that you bless the speaking, the preaching from your word, the singing. Lord, we do just pray that you would just be in this place today. God, we pray that you would just be in it overall, be in all the ministries that are going on. God, we pray that you would just meet with us today. We do love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a rare privilege to have them all the way back to the East Coast from the West Coast, and that's a rare thing. And so we're glad. I know that Wally and Jan are thrilled to have all the family together. This is like reunion time, and it's a rare thing. So God bless y'all. Good to have you here today. And it's good to have the McDowells here in Sunday school. This is Robert and Dee McDowell, and they're from DeLand, and so good to have you all here in class with us this morning. And they've been in church, but I think this is one of the first times you've been in Sunday school. No? Okay. Amen. Well, good. And any other folks would like to recognize, want to make sure and make you feel at home, welcome and all that. I'm looking around and I see familiar faces across the room. Good to see you here. Any birthdays this past week? Any birthdays this past week? One right back here. Amen. How many? And back here? Okay. All right, Marie. All right. Well, we wish you all a happy birthday. And Valerie birthday. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anniversaries. Summertime, you know, is a time to get married. Sometimes June weddings are the priority, but July, okay, no anniversaries. Well, good to see you here. I do hope that you'll be praying this week for Vacation Bible School. What a great opportunity to see boys and girls trust Christ as their Savior and pray for each one who's working and serving in some capacity. And thank you for bringing in the jars, those of you who brought in the canning jars. We appreciate that. Let me let you in on a little something that we're going to be doing in the way of reaching new folks. We're going to begin knocking on the doors of people who have just moved in. We have a list now of folks in Deltona, DeLand, and Orange City and DeBary who are new movers. They just moved in. They might have moved across town. That happens, you know, it triggers them on that list. Also, occasionally when someone has to change or re-up on their power bill or something like that, then maybe that might get them on the list. But by and large, most of the time, it's people who have moved into this area. And people move and into a new home, they're usually looking for a church home. And it's a great opportunity to bring a little gift bag and some things from our church and to invite them to Volusia County Baptist Church. Many times, we've done this before years ago, and many times when I've knocked on the door and they said, you know, I was just talking to my wife, we need to find a church. And so on Tuesdays at 6:30, we're going to be doing that. Now this Tuesday, of course, Vacation Bible School is going on, and so it's a busy schedule. So officially, we'll start the following Tuesday. Officially, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. We'll kind of get our feet wet this Tuesday with a few who are going to go out anyway, and so that'll be at 6:30 on this Tuesday. But here's where you come in. We would like to get some of you ladies who perhaps have made homemade jellies, jams, marmalade, apple butter, you know, these kinds of things. And we'd like to use little half pint jars, you know, the little small things. We'll put a label on it from the church and saying what it is and that kind of thing, and print that and put that on there. And we'd like to put that in that gift bag. Sometimes people are a little bit skittish about certain kinds of things that you might put in a gift bag. But something that's sealed like that, you know, that'd be a gift that keeps on giving. Sitting there on the breakfast table, and they'll see Volusia County Baptist Church, and boy, that is great grape jelly or strawberry preserves or whatever the case may be. So begin thinking about that. We're going to mention that to the church. And perhaps you'd like to get in on that, and that would be a great blessing to have one of those in that gift bag. So if you'll let me know that you'd be willing to help with that, that would be marvelous. Ushers, come on down, please. Receive the offering this morning, and we're excited about the Scribe event. If you have not yet gotten your live stream connected to your television so that you can show that on your big screen, your living room, or something like that. Brother Robert Shaw is our connection point. Brother Robert is back there in the sound booth, and we have flyers that have the phone number, how to set up an appointment for him to come to your house and to get all that set up. And, of course, he's doing this because he wants to serve the Lord, and also we're offering this through him, so hopefully people will give an offering perhaps towards him buying that bass that string bass there. So that's an expensive instrument, and you don't see him playing it at all because he had to give the school one back. Belongs to the high school there, and so he had to return that. And the school has been letting him use that for the past 4 years, and he'd bring it here to church and he'd play it and all that kind of thing, play specials, and so it might be a way for us to give back to him, and it'd be certainly a wonderful thing for him to be able to give his time to you to be able to set that up for you. So if you're interested in that, please pick up one of those flyers or call the church office, whichever the case may be. Heavenly Father, bless this offering, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you bless this Sunday school hour. Help us now to behold wondrous things out of thy word. And Lord, be more like Jesus every day. Thank you for what you're going to do in the service to follow. Bless Pastor and use him mightily as he preaches. And the music may be pleasing to your ears, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Dave.
Let's take your hymn books once again and turn to hymn number 520, The Longer I Serve Him, hymn number 520.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the
so much. The longer you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the less disappointed you are in him every single day. The more that you serve him, the sweeter he grows. God bless you. We do have some more of our Sunday school books. They are back there in the cabinet. Let's see who could run. And oh, thank you guys. Thank you very much. They're back there in the back and on the bottom back there if you want to get those. And there have been some people asking for the Striving Together notes and the books there. So we have plenty. And if you want to, there's no charge. If you want to put a couple dollars in the offering there in Sunday school towards the books, that would be just fine. That'd be great. But there's no charge for them. If you are needing a book, please raise your hand and the men have them. Just be patient. Get them they'll get them to you quickly. Okay, looking around. Just don't be bashful. Just go ahead and take one. And husband and wife can each take one. That way they have them. Right down here, guys. Right down here. Good, good, good. All right. Have you ever seen this happen? Have you ever seen this exercise take place where you have someone and they fold their hands like this and they have someone behind them and they're supposed to just fall backwards? And they're to trust the person behind that they're going to catch them, you know, maybe even two people back there and they're going to catch them. It'd be a dirty trick, wouldn't it, to let them fall? That'd be terrible. But the lesson is that we can have confidence in other people, confidence in our team. And so there are times that is demonstrated in that way. Let me tell you something. People sometimes, as good as they might be, people sometimes may let us down. But God will never let us down. He will never fail us. God never fails. What we need as Christians is to have a renewed confidence in who God is, in His love, and have the confidence not in ourselves. Most of the time, people who are healthy, who seem to have enough money to pay the bills for the next 2 or 3 months in the bank, people who seem to have things kind of worked out, they're strong enough, they can handle most any problem. You know what happens? They start to begin to have self-confidence. And self-confidence is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from pride. Now, if we're confident in what God does through us and He gets the glory, then yes, we're praising God for what He enables this instrument, this tool in His hand. We're thankful for that. We take care of that instrument. We do everything we can to prepare the instrument. We make sure the instrument is as sharp as possible. And all those kinds of things have to do with ourself, okay? Because we want to be available. We want to be credible. We want to be strong and all that for God to use. But as far as the master who uses us, that person is Jesus Christ. And He gets the praise and He gets the glory. It's our responsibility to be sharp. It's our responsibility to be prepared and available and all that. But our confidence must remain in God. When you think of Moses and how he preached and how he said that God said it's going to rain. God said He's going to send His judgment upon earth. Repent and all of this. A preacher of righteousness and for hundreds of years, building an ark. By the way, did you see that the ark there at the Creation Institute there in Kentucky, that they had the grand opening, I guess, this week? And Bill Nye's is that his name, the science guy? Ken Ham took him around personally and gave him a personal tour of that ark. And that was interesting. That's loving your enemy. Amen. And he was able to witness to him as they went along. But you know, today we receive a lot of mocking because we believe the Bible is true and accurate. Moses received that kind of mockery. But yet when the judgment fell, they were screaming and crying, and they were too late. So confidence in God, believing that God keeps His word. Now, we need to stand strong on that. Let's look, please, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Say this verse with me, it's a familiar one. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a great passage of encouragement. You know, many times we as preachers of the Word of God, we oftentimes hook up to the negative post of the battery, and boy, we're good on the negative, and we can really shear the sheep. But you know, this is one of those opportunities that we can praise God for what God is doing through His people. I look at all the things that are done at Volusia County Baptist Church through this church, and I rejoice in the faithful service of so many. I mean, not just a few. A lot of times churches are directed by and led by and run, and the machinery is made up of 10% of the church. And it seems like the 10% are just burnt out and worked out and all that kind of thing. I'm thankful that's not the case here. This is not your average Baptist church. It's really not. I thank God that people jump in and help and serve from their hearts. That was the type of church in Philippi. And here in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is praising God and thanking God for what He's doing through this church. The foundation of faith is confidence in God. You have confidence that no matter what we do for God, that He sees it, that He watches it. He's recording all of that. That encourages us to go on. That encourages us to serve when no one is looking. That encourages us to do behind the scenes and in the shadows what no one will ever find out about. Because we know that God is the one who always sees. And He's always taking down that record. The foundation of faith is confidence in God. That's why Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So we're to diligently seek after God. It's not happenstance. It's not just going with the flow. It's not following the current of this world. We're not to be conformed to the current of this world. We're to go against that current. We're not to be fitting into that mold. Today in our world, we are being pressed and pushed and trying to be forced into the mold of the mold that our culture is accepting. By the way, that's the same type of culture that the Romans accepted. And we know how the Roman Empire fell. So the great message we heard on Sunday morning, and how God does not mince words about His truth. God keeps His word, and we have confidence in that. Oswald Chambers said this: "Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time." Now, we may not understand what God is doing right now today in our life. We may not understand the reasons why. The illness that God allows into our life, the Apostle Paul did not understand why God allowed the illness into his life. He prayed and sought the Lord seriously, diligently. He saw God answer many prayers. He saw many people healed. The Lord allowed him to see Eutychus raised from the dead. And yet he prayed about a personal need that he had. And God said, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I want to show you, and I want to show others, that God will sustain them just as I sustain you through this. And He would not remove that. We often don't understand why God does what He does. But He is God, He is sovereign, and He loves us with a paramount and priority love. So faith is that deliberate confidence, unwavering. That's what faith is. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." We have access. We have boldness. Just because God says no does not mean that God doesn't love us anymore. Please remember that. Just because God does not give us what we want. You know, hasn't there been times that you have thanked the Lord that He did not give you what you wanted sometime?
It could be that God is bringing us through a difficult and a stormy time in our life so that He's going to build something into our life that hasn't been there before that we need and that others need. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how big is your God? How big is God to you? Is God bigger than the storm? Is God bigger than your need? Is God bigger than the affliction? Is God bigger than the problems that tomorrow looms over you? I like that acrostic that's up there on the screen. If you have a big God, you can be bold in God. In whom we have boldness, the verse said. In whom we have boldness, because we have access through Him. So we have confidence in God. Let's look at our outline, please. Roman number 1, the product of placing confidence in God. What does that produce in our life? Look at verse 10 again. Verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Paul's confidence produced cheer. His confidence in God produced cheer. When God does something wonderful in your heart, He steps in and He does answer prayer. He does meet a need. And by the way, He usually meets the need right at the time and right at the point of need. We often want it, 2 weeks early. We often want God to do something as soon as the problem presents itself. But God knows the best time. He knows the best way. In my life, let me share this with you. In my life, whenever something grabs my attention that drives me to the throne of grace, it seems like that, God could answer that prayer right then. But He doesn't. Oftentimes, He enjoys my presence with Him. Sometimes those needs drive us to Him in a more intimate and a close and needful way. And so God allows that to happen. And then when God does bring that answer, it does bring cheer. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoicing in the good times is easy. Rejoicing in the hard times, now that's spirituality. That's confidence in God. That's faith. Rejoicing in the Lord. Have you ever heard someone say, whenever the problem comes, boy, this is great. This is wonderful. I can't wait to see how God is going to fix this. That's confidence in God. Because of His track record, because of how He has seen you through so many times in your life, and please forget not, as the Bible says, forget not all His benefits. Don't forget the track record of our God. Our track record is a blessed one. We tend to forget what God does for us in a positive way. I had a pastor say that people, they want to know what you've done for them lately. What have you done for me lately? Pastors often remember things that they, by God's grace, have been able to be there for people and help them and be there at the emergency room and hug them at the funeral home and pray with them and weep with them and all that kind of thing. And then 4 years later, something happens and they seem to forget everything that happened in those 4 years. Because people have a short attention span. If we're not careful, we'll treat God the very same way. We'll want to demand something of God. And when something comes in that we don't like, as painful, as difficult, we'll forget how faithful God has been. Just as Israel forgot how faithful God had been. We'll forget all those things. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. And we know, this is confidence, that all things work together for them, work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know. That's a word of confidence. Our confidence in God on His track record. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Please make sure that you jot down in a journal or somewhere that you can remind yourself and remind others of the blessings that God has given to you. The song says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I jotted down this statement. Imagine having absolute perfect confidence that God will see you through everything. God will even take bad things and leverage them into good for you. That's Romans 8:28. Have that confidence, and we know that all things work together for good. Philippians 1 verse 12 says, but I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The terrible things that happened in the Apostle Paul's ministry, many of which are recorded in the book of Acts, we find that as a result of those things, the gospel flourished in a greater way. Let's take one of those. Acts chapter 16. You remember how that they were there in Philippi and preaching and all that in Acts chapter 16? And remember how the little girl that was, the young lady that was following them around, that was possessed of a demon and all of that? And she would day after day after day follow and it would be kind of a mocking kind of a thing coming out of her mouth. A message from the devil, you know, mocking, you know, and all of this. And finally, the Apostle Paul turned around and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he commanded the demon to come out of her. And when the guys who owned her and used her for soothsaying and fortune telling and realized that their hope of income was gone, they had them arrested, thrown in the Philippian jail, into the inner prison, and they're beaten and in stocks. Now, that's a famous passage. And we know what happened after that. They were singing and praising God, and at midnight, God stepped in. He broke him out of prison, as it were. But you know, they just stayed right there. The door swung open. Their stocks came off. And they were right there. Philippian jailer came in thinking that everyone had escaped. And he was about to kill himself. What never would have taken place, what never would have happened, that Philippian jailer probably would never been confronted with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ had the Apostle Paul not submitted to and surrendered to the will of God in his life, even when it meant pain and suffering. And he did not sit there blaming God and say, God, did you not know I'm preaching? Why are you letting this happen to me? I'm trying to do your will. And gripe and complain and gripe and complain. No. His confidence was in God, that God knew what he was doing. And so he was singing. And as a result of that, here's this guy that walks up and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I need what you have. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Confidence. Confidence in God. What great examples of that that we have here. So, let's see here. I want to make sure that I've given this to you. You got letter A, Paul's confidence produced cheer. And letter B, Paul's confidence produced contentment. Contentment. Look at verse 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be, what's the word? Content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. There's sometimes I'm supposed to be hungry, he said. There's sometimes supposed to be full. I know how to I know how to endure that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Who has that for us? Brother Robert, come on up here so people can hear you, if you would. And if you want to follow along, 1 Timothy chapter 6, turn your Bibles if you'd like to. And let's hear this passage, if you will. Brother Robert.
Get where I can see it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have earned from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Most of us in here would probably say, I don't have a lot of temptation in that area. I don't have a lot of money to love. You know, most people would say that. But you know, listen, please. You don't have to be wealthy to fall into that trap. A person can lust after money. A person could wish they could have this and be envious of their neighbor and be envious of their brother and all that kind of thing. And that love of money doesn't say that the person that has a lot of money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so the Apostle Paul is reminding us here that we're to have confidence in God, and that confidence will produce contentment because we know that God is in charge. Letter C, Paul's confidence produced courage, boldness. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. His confidence was in Jesus Christ. His confidence was in his Savior. Mark 10:27 says, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Anything. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is impossible for thee. Roman numeral 2, we'll just begin this, looking at this one, and then we'll finish it next time. The people who practice confidence in God. Let's look at the people now. And verses 14 through 18. The Bible says, notwithstanding ye have well done, verse 14, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now these are certain people. God does take notice of individuals. God does take notice of certain churches. God does take notice of those who are willing to sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ and getting the gospel out. God takes notice of those when God prompts someone to give something for the church in West Virginia or for the Crusades or for whatever the case may be, whatever mission work that pastor presents. And I know that we wish we could give to everything. I know that we wish we could just fill the need that every mission work has. But here's what we need to do. We need to be walking with God in such a way that we sense His prompting. And we obey what He leads us to do in our heart. We see a need. We can always pray. We can always ask God to meet that need in some miraculous way. And sometimes God does that through us. And God wants to use us. And so letter A, they saw needs and they gave. They saw the need and they gave. This is a giving church, folks. It always has been from day one. And I thank God for that. You know, you cannot outgive God. And hear this great truth. When a church gives to missions, you're giving to the heart of God. And as we surrender to God's leadership, especially in the giving to missions outside of our church, oh, I know, we can gladly give towards new blacktop, you know, in our parking lot. We can gladly give to have nice padded chairs. We can gladly give to have some greater facility for something. Yes, okay, that's something we'll enjoy. But what if we give to something that we will never touch? What if we give to something that we may never see? Our eyes may never actually physically see. We might see pictures, but it won't be something that we would actually enjoy ourselves. When we give selflessly in that regard to a work that God is doing and that God has impressed upon our heart, then God's blessing will follow on that type of a church. Brother Jim, would you come please and read for us 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 through 4. If you'd like to look at that, we'll wrap up here in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you, preacher. Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance and their joy and of deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For into their power I bear record, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is nuts and bolts type of Christianity. He said, you gave so I could go. And we have missionaries in our church. And I'm so thankful that we have some now from our church. Their home church is Volusia County Baptist Church. I'm thankful for that. And so they sowed seeds when they gave. They saw needs and they gave. And letter B, they sowed seeds when they gave. Verse 17 tells us that not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit abounding to your account. I hope that you have fruit. I hope that you have a reason that you're looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, the seat there where God is going to give out rewards. I hope you do have something awaiting you. The songwriter said, must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? The Philippian church, these folks, they had something to look forward to. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, their names are in the precious Word of God for all of eternity because of their faithfulness. May it be so about Volusia County Baptist Church. May it be so. May God say, boy, because of the selfless sacrificial giving of folks here, of their time, their talents, and their treasures, because of that, the Word of God's gone forth in wonderful ways. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, your precious Word. Lord, I thank you for the Philippian church. What an example in so many ways that they are to us. Help us to be like that church of Philippi. And Lord, I ask you now that you would bless in the service to follow. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, His leading in our hearts, we pray. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll start back in about 15 minutes. Good to have you in the Sunday school this morning. God bless you.